All right, it's good once again to see everyone. I hope you had a wonderful day. It's always great to gather back together for worship on Sunday evening. Not a better place to be than together as God's family before Him. Just a couple of announcements. Most importantly, this afternoon after service, finished with a study with a young man, Brentley Victory, and he obeyed the gospel this afternoon, and everyone will get to meet him, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. So we're thankful for him and his decision to put on Christ in baptism. And also, don't forget the graduates ice cream dinner right after service. They're going to shorten the kids Bible hour, and I'm sure they're already getting ready and kind of fixing things up for that, and everyone's welcome to go over there. As a matter of fact, I kind of made a boo-boo in that I knew it was coming, and I knew logically we'd want to shorten the service a little bit, and for some reason I picked the longest evening sermon I could find. But I didn't come to this realization until being reminded about 3 o'clock, and I thought, well, you know, sermons don't just come like that. We're going to stick with it. And so I'm going to the best of my ability, chop 10 or 15 minutes out of it, and hopefully it makes sense. So bear with me on this lesson. So let's start off here. Now, our main study text is going to be from the book of Galatians. And I want us to think, starting off here, about home, right? There's just something about home where, you know, it's a place of rest. You know, there's just something about home. It's just a place where we want to be. When you're weary, when you're tired, you want to go home. But I want you to think about something concerning our faith, especially with our theme for the year of Walking Worthy. We need to feel at home at the foot of the cross. Right, and I know that might sound counterintuitive, right? You know, preacher, the cross is a cruel instrument of death. You mean I'm supposed to feel at home at the foot of the cross? Well, yes. Yes, we are. And it's my responsibility as a disciple of Jesus to come to the cross, stay at the cross, and feel at home at the cross. And, you know, I'm all about repetition and overlap. I bring it up all the time. This year with our theme, Hebrews 12 and verse 2, right? Let's be reminded here of this passage concerning Jesus, right? We should know it well by now, right? Let's be reminded here, looking unto Jesus, or New American Standard, I love, says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so what I'd like us to consider this evening as we get into this lesson, again, mainly in the book of Galatians, is the idea of feeling at home at the foot of the cross. But first, before we get to that text, I want you to think for just a moment here. In Galatians chapter 4, listen, everything that you read in your Bible, all of it, you know, historically, redemptively, theologically, everything that occurred since creation has progressed at a divinely ordained pace until the perfect time, the perfect moment, right, had arrived. And that's what Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, right? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So I want you to think all of it, right? Everything that we're reading in our Bibles, every single bit of it was leading up to the cross of Christ, right? That absolute great and terrible day when Jesus died in our law place on the cross, right? So everything leads to the cross of Christ. All of it, and it of course yields salvation for mankind, right? So let's have all of this in our mind Let's be reminded of everything here before we get to our main study text, which I promise we'll get to, but let me read something here in Matthew chapter 16 real quick. Now be kind to me, because I'm cutting out stuff here, so bear with me. Matthew 16. And I want you to think about this verse, how important it is. Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so I want you to consider here that, you know, everything about our life in Christ, from our spiritual birth, right, when we put on Christ to baptism, to our physical death, everything needs to show that purpose, all of it. Right? And this has everything to do with us walking worthy. And when we can see that, when we can understand that, everything in our faith will change, right? And maybe it is that you're struggling with your faith, right? And we all struggle at times. My struggle is different than your struggle and so on. But maybe you find yourself right now struggling with your faith. Maybe this is the issue, right? Let's do some self-inventory. Let's be honest where we're at. Maybe this is the issue. Maybe this is what you needed to be reminded of concerning living, being comfortable at the foot of the cross. And so now what I want to do here is, in the book of Galatians, you know, and by the way, of course, Galatians appears to be primarily written to some folks that were trying to follow a different gospel, right? You know, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, you know it probably pretty well. And what they were doing, and what the warning is here from Paul is, if they did follow this different gospel, they're going to make the real gospel powerless in their lives to save them. Right? So we get this warning here in chapter 1, 6 through 9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed, right? We know the warning here. Now, Paul's concern really is twofold. Number one, that the gospel would never be changed, right? Number two, because if we do try to change the gospel that we've received, again, it negates the power of the cross to save. And so what I want to do in the time that we have here this evening, I want to use an acronym. I love acronyms. Helps me remember things. And it's an acronym. I swear I've been holding on to this acronym to use in a sermon for 20 years now. I remember writing this acronym down on a note that I have in a binder. It might have been when I was in preaching school 20 years ago. And I said, I'm going to use that in a sermon someday. So here's the acronym. And I think it's a pretty common acronym. Maybe you've seen it before. So let's use the acronym CROSS, CROSS, as we're looking here in the book of Galatians. Now, why I wanted to go to Galatians, why I want to use this acronym, is I want to say the word cross is used in our Bibles. It's hundreds of times. But in the book of Galatians, it's used more than in any other letter that I'm aware of in the New Testament. And so you see the word cross and crucifixion, it just fills the book. And so this is a great place, if you're going to talk about the cross, this is a great place if we're talking about living, being at home at the foot of the cross. So number one, as you see on the screen here, go to chapter 3 and verse 1, and that's crucified. So chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Now, that's strong language. You know, think about if anyone's ever called you foolish, right? You wouldn't like that. But this term here indicates that Paul is saying basically you're not thinking right, you're not acting wisely. And so the term here, I believe, it challenges their will, not their intellect. Right? He's not calling them stupid. And basically he's bringing out, you know, what can be known and what in fact they already knew was being intentionally denied. Right? And they're yielding to this other gospel. And it started to change the way that they were thinking, and not in a good way. Right? And so here's the point. It was not an issue of how smart the Galatians were, but rather a statement of their unwillingness to think correctly, or really to think at all. Their beliefs and their actions were inconsistent with the truths and the principles that they first learned for a reason, right? We're going to talk about that reason as we go. And so now their new position basically denied the cross of Christ. That's the issue. That's the problem. It negated the persecution that goes along with the cross of Christ, right? They're wanting to fit in. They're wanting to give in to these Judaizing Christians. And so a question, you know, what produced this foolishness? Paul stated that the Galatians were bewitched. And it's as if their new behavior was so strange that it appeared as if someone put a spell on them. Right, we get bewitched sometimes, don't we? Right, by new and different friends, new and different lusts of the world. We go off to that far country, like the prodigal son, thinking it's better over there. Right, we get bewitched. And so basically, the Galatian Christians listened to, and they allowed themselves to someone to bewitch them into thinking that. They didn't have to obey the received truth, right? That they could obey something else. They were bewitched, right? And they forgot, like we forget sometimes. We forget that we were crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, when we obeyed the gospel. Now pay attention here. We're going to move on to this next point in just a second. Note this. Note the first order of business here in chapter 3 and verse 1. It wasn't that they believed something false at first. Now bear with me. But rather that they failed to obey the truth first. And you might be thinking, well, what difference does that make, right? False is false, and not obeying the truth is not obeying the truth. Well, true. But this is more of the why. You know, why did they stop obeying the truth? Their failure to obey the truth, I believe, here appears to be the end of basically end of the line in a chain of events that began with their failure to recognize the magnitude of Christ's crucifixion. I think that's the issue. The Galatians were foolish to change the gospel that they were taught originally. And that's where the problem began. All right, number two, this next one is redemption. Jump over to chapter 5. Wish we could spend a whole lot more time here in the text and really look at all of this. Look at verse 11. So chapter 5, verse 11, the word redemption here. It says, "And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased." Now really think about this. So Paul's argument against the Galatians' heresy, it hasn't changed much since what we just read in chapter 3 and verse 1. In chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, clearly stated that Christ redeemed us from the law, right? So that Abraham's blessing could come to all of humanity. Now, don't let me lose you here. It can be a little bit theological, right? So this gets a little technical. But it's basically about the law was added to the original covenant made with Abraham, right? But the law, unlike the original covenant with Abraham, was done away with, or stated differently, the law of Moses was done away with, but the seed promised to Abraham was not, right? And that's why we learn there at the end of chapter 3, when we're clothed with Christ in baptism, we become a seed of Abraham, right? That's a wonderful study in itself. And that the law, we learned, was just a tutor, a schoolmaster, depending on your translation, that brought us to Christ, chapter 3, basically verses 19 through 25, right? So it was no longer needed once Christ came. And if you're taking notes, write down Hebrews 9, 16 and 17, and to have a better understanding of that. So Paul's point here, that he wants us to see, and for the purpose of this lesson, that they were basically rejecting the purpose of the cross. Right? Stated differently, no covenant, then no Christ. If there's no Christ, then there's no cross. If there's no cross, then there's no promise. Right? And then we can't be seeds of Abraham. And so the summary of the redemptive promise of God, if you're going to sum up this point here, was made of no effect because they were believing a different gospel, an unoriginal gospel, a false gospel, right? And it was keeping them from realizing the power of the cross in their lives. So you see the danger there? And so what I'd like you to note next here, let me jump ahead. I'm going to give myself no more than 10 more minutes. Offered life. So chapter 5, verse 24. Read this with me. Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 24. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So generally this passage appears in the same context. You remember back in chapter 5, verse 11, right? And then what we have in between, you might know this well, Paul speaks about the difference of walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, right? That this is where we get that section. Jesus offered his flesh, his body, so that I can be saved. So therefore I offer my body to now live for him. Right? Walking in the Spirit. I no longer walk in the flesh for the things of the flesh, right? Now, since he offered his life, it's now on me. He calls me to offer my life back, right? Like what we read in Matthew 16 and verse 24. Carry your cross daily, right? So that's what this is right here. But what we do many times in a larger context here with the church of Galatia is we want to live a different gospel. We want to change gospel. Now, we won't admit it because what we do is we rationalize that, right? I preach triangle with 98% of everything that you're throwing out there, but boy, I sure don't want to get rid of this in my life. I sure enjoy this, right? When you know, and if you're honest, that this is contrary to the will of God, right? So we do the same thing, right? So let's not just bash on the Galatian church here. We're guilty of it also, and we got to be careful, right? And in the end, when we're doing that, we're removing the power of the cross in our lives, and we're not going to be at home living at the foot of the cross. And it can be very, very dangerous, right? But on the other hand, walking in the Spirit is not just doing what God would have us do, but doing so because we walk consistent with the singular nature of the originally pure gospel. Right? We do our best. That's our goal. Right? We want to glorify God in that. All right, next, number 4, suffer. Last two are going to be here in chapter 6. So chapter 6 and verse 12, read it with me. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And I kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier. And so I want you to note here a question. So who suffered for you? Right? Well, Christ suffered for you. Now, chapter 6 kind of introduces some responsibility. That those who are spiritual, that we have, because that statement is true, right? Verse 1, real quick, spiritually mature brethren, help restore the unspiritual. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens. Verse 7, 8, you get the law of sowing and reaping. Be careful what you're planting, right? It's coming back. The harvest is always later and the harvest is always greater. Be careful. Leading up to verse 12, of course. And so in this context here, Paul affirmed that his attitude is not only spiritual, but he sought to correct the Galatians though it seemed that he kind of departed from that subject matter for a little bit. But then you get back to verse 12, he's kind of back into it. And so Paul stated that those who are binding circumcision, fleshly act that bound the Mosaic law to those who practice it, right? He's saying those folks that are changing the gospel, basically, they're doing it for selfish reasons, right? And he's basically saying you're doing what you're doing for selfish reasons, right? You think it's all about you. That's another thing we struggle with, right? And we do that because we forget who it was that suffered for us, who died for us. Right, we forget about that cruel instrument of death, the cross, and its purpose. Right, and see that cross is just too brutal for us sometimes. So we leave the cross of Christ and His gospel, and we look for another gospel, you know, a nicer gospel, one that makes us feel comfortable. Right, one that doesn't stomp on our toes, one that makes me feel good about me. Right? Oh, I believe in the cross of Christ. I believe in the gospel. But, you know, I want the gospel that's not so rough around the edges. I'm just going to smooth it up a little bit. Make it more palatable. Right? And that's just our selfish nature. And that right here is part of the warning. All right, number 6. Sacrifice. Look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, the cross of Christ, if it's anything, and of course it's many things to us, it's the place of sacrifice. It's that place of promise for us, right? It's when God in the flesh died in our law place. Right, and you know, I know sometimes when we think about the cross, our mind automatically just goes to the suffering that Jesus endured. Now, I think that's not a bad thing, of course, to dwell on, but His suffering did not save you. Right, and there's a Latin term for that, heliorromantico. It's romanticizing just the suffering. What saves you is that He died on the cross. It's His death with that blood sacrifice. Now, His suffering proved His dedication to die for us. And so we note here in verse 14, actually go back to verse 13 here real quick. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. And so, as this passage appears, only two verses after our prior verse, the context remains the same. And the only additional content that has any effect is verse 13, right? Real quick, I'll give myself 4 minutes here. 2 Corinthians, let me just mention this. And 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14, chapter 8 also, a little bit of this. But this passage that Paul's talking about there adds to what Paul is, what he's compelling us to understand, right? And the call is basically this, you know, if we're going to boast, it can only be in Christ-centered boasting. I think that's what I'm trying to get across to you, right? And so the problem is we fail to live at the cross when we focus on just the physical things of this life, right? Physical, fleshly desires and lusts and pursuits and wants. And when we do that, we, like the Galatians that he's calling out, lose sight of the meaning and the power and the focus of the cross and the sacrifice that Jesus made. So let's begin to wind down here. So here in Galatians 6 and verse 14, again, it's compelling us to only have Christ-centered boasting because of that sacrifice. And that's the call for. So let's end with a question here. You know, have you forgotten the cross? Right? Have you forgotten the sacrifice? Right? Have we forgotten what was accomplished at the cross that we have access to? Because if we're not living at the foot of the cross, it's so very easy to forget. right? We talk about Galatians chapter 15 all the time, the great resurrection chapter, and why right in the middle of that, verse 33, Paul writes, be careful who your friends are, basically, right? Bad morals corrupt good habits, basically. Why is that in the middle of a resurrection chapter, right? The first half is about the resurrection of Christ. The last half is about our resurrection if we get in his resurrection. Why that warning there in the middle? Well, because if you're not careful who and what you allow into your life, they're going to steal away the meaning of the resurrection. So in a very similar way, that's kind of the point here. If we are not comfortable at the foot of the cross, we better be careful, right? And we're going to get carried away by a different gospel, right? One that suits our desires. And that's the call here. And so let's have our conclusion. Right, the conclusions are our scripture reading that we had earlier. Paul's making this statement here in the middle of all this. Right, you know it well. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Right, that's the focus. That is about living at the foot of the cross, remembering our purpose, remembering what was accomplished for us on the cross. So one last thing to think about. Maybe there's someone here. We're going to stay in the book of Galatians. And I mentioned the verse earlier. You know, maybe there's someone here that has never come to the cross of Christ. Maybe there's someone here that hasn't obeyed the gospel. Right? We put it all together. But what the cross means, you know, and like a discussion I had with someone this afternoon, I said, listen, we don't come to church to play church. This is a life and death business. You need to be dedicated to that. So the question to you, if you've never obeyed the gospel, is what we see in Galatians chapter 3. Right? Have you been clothed with Christ in baptism? Right? And the only way that you're going to be saved is if you are a seed of Abraham. Why do you become a seed of Abraham? Great question. Clothed with Christ in baptism, right? That's how we are saved by grace through faith. And so the question to you, if you've never obeyed the gospel, why not tonight? Right? And if anything, let's sit down, look at the Bible, let's talk about this, let's study this to help you make that decision. Right? And if there's someone here that has done that, but along the way you lost your way because you admit you weren't living at the cross of Christ and you find yourself separated, living a lifestyle of sin, good news is you can come back. So if you have any needs spiritually, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.